So it says this: following last week's service, the deacon would like to gently remind the church of a few biblical principles that help us maintain fairness to the preacher and keep our worship orderly. In Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17, it reads, Jesus teaches us that if anyone has a concern or disagreement with a brother or sister, it should be first addressed privately, and then if needed, with a small group, before being brought before the wider church. This helps preserve unity and grace in how we relate to one another. Likewise, 1 Corinthians 14:40 reminds us that everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. During the service, this means listening respectfully without interruption, trusting that there is time and space outside of the service for questions or discussion in the right spirit. Thank you for your understanding and for helping keep our worship focused on God and honouring one another. Thank you for the deacons.
Well, welcome everyone. I'm Linda, I'm leading the service this morning. You're very welcome here to Sittingbourne Baptist Church. If you haven't been here before, we welcome you very much to our service. We're going to have a dedication today, I believe, of a little girl. And we've also, the children will be going out. If you have children that are any age, actually, from sort of creche all the way up to secondary school age, there'll be groups going out for the children, and we'll tell you at what point those children are welcome to go out to the groups. So we're going to start with a psalm. We're going to start with Psalm 100, verses 1 to 5. And it says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. So that's a psalm. It tells us, come into his presence with singing. We've already started well this morning, and we're now going to sing three worship songs that all have a theme of praise. So let's stand together and let's praise the Lord together.
I praise him.
Sorry, I've lost my bit of paper. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? The Lord Almighty is here with us in every journey, every challenge, every heartbreak, every joy, every tear, every victory. And he's the fourth man in the fire. And we can trust that God will never fail us. And we're going to join together in trusting God. Once I can find it.
Jesus is mine.
seats.
Joy and a privilege to welcome Olivia and Mum Cynthia. They're going to join me now on the platform. Let's welcome them as they come. Now, Cynthia has been with us for nearly a year now, and last week Cynthia made the bold decision to put her hand up and indicate that she wants to be baptized. So we celebrate that, don't we? Then after the service, as I was talking with Cynthia about baptism, she also mentioned to me that her daughter Olivia has not yet been blessed in church, and she wanted to know how can she go about that. So I said, well, we can take care of that for you. I said, do you have any dates in mind? I was thinking maybe it would be a few weeks or whatever, or months. And she said, well, what about next week? So we are so happy that she wants to bring Olivia to be blessed. We are glad about it. I want to read a few verses from God's word in Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 16. This is what the word of God says about children being blessed. It says, and they brought young children to him, him being Jesus, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. When little children were coming to Jesus, the disciples felt that they would be wasting the Lord's time. That Jesus had far more important matters and issues to attend to. But this is what Jesus had to say in response. Verse 14, but when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. And he said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, they shall not enter therein. Amen. We can learn a lot from children. Children teach us to be humble. Children teach us that however old we may be or how much experience we may have gained in this life, that we can still learn something, that we can still remain teachable. And that's why Jesus rebuked those disciples and said, let them come unto me, because those little children, they represent the kingdom of God. I'm going to ask a few questions to you, Cynthia, as mum. Yeah. The word of the Lord instructs that children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward, according to Psalm 127. And as mum to Olivia, God has blessed you with the responsibility of providing primary care, love, counsel, and spiritual wisdom to Olivia. And following the example of King Solomon, who taught us in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, to train up a child in the way he or she should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. So, Cynthia, do you receive this child as a gift from God? And do you commit to loving and caring for Olivia faithfully in a home marked by the fruit of the Spirit? Amen. Cynthia, do you commit to teaching Olivia about the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, prayer, and exposure to the Holy Scriptures? Amen. And finally, Cynthia, by the grace of God, will you seek to model a life of integrity, compassion, forgiveness, and holiness to Olivia? Amen. Your mum says yes. And now to the congregation, to the church of the Lord Jesus. just a few questions to you. And if you affirm, please, if you can say a resounding, we do. As a church family, do you welcome this child into your community with love and with joy? Amen. And finally, church, do you commit to supporting both mum, family, and of course, for Olivia, with your prayers, your encouragement, and also any practical support that you can offer? Amen. You see all those people saying we do? Doesn't she look lovely in her beautiful dress? Bless you. Okay. Now, will you allow me to pick you up? Is that okay? No? Okay. That's okay. Thinking, who is this strange man? Well, Mum, can you pick her up?
Yeah.
If you hold her, then I will just bring her closer to me. We thank for this beautiful occasion. And following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to pray for Olivia and pray God's blessing over her life and also for Mum as well. So let's pray, church. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this dear child. We thank you that she is a gift from heaven. And you have blessed Mum with this beautiful bundle of joy and gift of life. And we've come this day to say thank you. Thank you so much that you have blessed this dear Mum with a beautiful, beautiful daughter. And we've come now on this beautiful morning to say thank you and to offer her back to you. Just as Hannah presented her son Samuel into the temple and to Eli the priest, we do so now in that same vein, offer her back to you. And we pray, Lord, that whatever you have in store for her in her very bright future, that you would just use her for your glory. And we pray that as she grows up, that, Lord, that she will remember her Creator in the days of her youth. That, Father, that you would open her heart, that one day that she would accept the Lord Jesus Christ for herself, and that one day she will make a decision to serve you and to live for you. And one day by faith and by your grace, we pray that when she's older, that we would see her pass through the waters of baptism and make a public declaration of her faith. So we now commit her to you, and we pray your blessing over her life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 And we pray in closing this prayer from Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 to 26. Olivia, the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face towards you, and may he give you his peace, both now and for the rest of your life. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Oh, Cynthia, let me give you a certificate of blessing. And also we have a gift in there on behalf of the church. So God bless you. Amen. Amen. I'll hand back over to Linda.
Before the children go out, I better ask the really important question for them, which is, do we have any birthdays this week? Anyone who's had a birthday, either just come or there. Yay, come down. She's just finding her exit route. There we go. Oh. Well done for finding your way to the front. Well done. What's your name? And how old are you going to be? Or have you had your birthday already? Okay, on Thursday. And how old will you be? Wednesday. 9. come and have a look and see if there's something in the birthday box. And as we do that, we're going to sing together Happy Birthday. Happy Birthday. The children now to go out to their groups. I hope they have a great time with their leaders. And as they go out to their groups, we're going to stand together to sing I Speak Jesus.
I just wanna speak the name of Jesus.
us join together in our prayers to the Lord. Today, as I was looking at our prayers for this week, I was thinking about, particularly as we then go on to hear Nathan's sermon today, I was thinking about the fruits of the Spirit. And I want to just say, the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I just pray, Lord, that we think about those fruits of the Spirit right now, and we think about the ones that, yeah, we've got this, we're quite good at that. And maybe there are some there that actually they take a little bit of effort. And I think we all know that we might come to a point in our days where inwardly we might feel like actually we can't display any of those fruits of the Spirit in whatever situation we might be in. But this is what's great, isn't it? That the Lord, he gives us peace within the chaos. And when we pray to the Lord helps us with these. And we might even find ourselves acting, I think, in ways that we certainly may not inwardly be feeling. And I think that's when we really know that God is with us. May we speak Jesus in every situation we find ourselves in. Let's speak the name of Jesus over every heart, every mind, over every addiction, over our families, over fear and all anxiety, because your name, Lord, is power and your name is healing. Let's shout his name from the mountains, from the streets, in the darkness, over every enemy. Let us shine so that those in our communities see the Lord in us. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I'll speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over Nathan now to come up.
Thank you so much, Linda and the worship team, for leading us beautifully in worship this morning. And indeed, we want to speak the name of Jesus over our family, friends, our loved ones, and if there's anyone here today that's felt strongly who needs healing, we speak the name of Jesus. However the Lord wants to do it, whatever the method will be, we speak Jesus. I hope you received that this morning. If you need healing, we speak Jesus. Amen. We speak Jesus. I want to call your attention to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, and for the sake of time, I'm going to commence reading from chapter 19 and read a few verses from, starting from verse number 1. And of course, we are returning to our sermon series that we started before Easter, which is entitled God-Centered Relationships. And before Easter, we looked at two aspects of God-centered relationships. We looked, number one, at God-centered singleness. What does it mean to be single and to honor God? We looked also at God-centered parenting. What does it mean to be effective as a parent? But today we're looking at God-centered friendships. What does it mean to be a good God-centered friend? What should we look for? And also we're going to look at today, what should we look out for that's not so healthy in friendships? So today I'm asking the question, who is your Jonathan? Who is your Jonathan? And in 1 Samuel chapter 19, you'll see these words. It says, Saul told his son Jonathan and all the attendants to kill David. But Jonathan had taken a great liking to David and warned him, my father Saul is looking for a chance to kill you. Be on your guard tomorrow morning. Go into hiding and stay there. And I will go out and stand with my father in the field where you are. I'll speak to him about you and I'll tell you what I find out. Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul his father and said to him, let not the king do wrong to his servant David. He has not wronged you. And what he has done has benefited you greatly. Goes on to talk about how he risked his life for the sake of Israel by going up against this Philistine giant by the name of Goliath. Says, why do you want to kill David when he risked it all for you and for your kingdom? I want to go back and look at chapter 18. And in just the first verse of chapter 18, it says this. And after David had finished talking with Saul, here it is, Jonathan became one in spirit with David. Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. He became one in spirit with David, his friend, and he loved him as himself. Who is your Jonathan? Throughout the ages, church, people from a variety of different backgrounds and spheres of influence have tried to summarize in their attempts to articulate what life is really like. Some suggest that life is like a camera, that you should focus on what's important, capture the good times, and develop from the negatives. And if things don't work out, you simply just take another shot. Others put it this way, in a way to describe life, that life is like riding a bicycle. That in order to keep your balance, church, you must keep moving. Life. Others suggest about life that life is like a book. That some chapters of the book are sad, some chapters of the book are happy, but if you never turn the page to a new chapter, you will never know what the next chapter in life has in store for you. Some may even say and articulate life to be like this, that life is like a garden, that simply put, we reap what we sow. However, church, this morning, when it comes to the area of human relationships in life, those we connect with, those we partner with as friends, as acquaintances, marriages, family members, you name it. Do you know what I've discovered, church, over the years? That life can be analogous to a big house. That our hearts and our soul, our innermost being, church, is analogous to a big house. And in particular, in this big house, the house of our soul has many rooms. And every day you and I make decisions on what or whom we allow into the various rooms of our soul. And in case you've missed it, church, I'm not talking about where you live. I'm not talking about the house that people can see with the eye. But I'm talking about the house that no one can see. It's the house of our soul. It's the house of our emotions. It's the house of our desires. It's the house of our affection. It's the house that contains our feelings, what we like, what we prefer, whom we love, whom we want to associate with. And here it is, what we are looking for. And every day, church, we make decisions on whom or what we allow into our space, into the houses of our soul. And more specifically, we make decisions, church, on what rooms we make available to people. So, for example, we may have 150 plus friends on Facebook. You may allow 150 plus people to connect with your Facebook page, but you may not invite all 150 friends on Facebook round to your house. There's a difference. You may go to work, those of you who work, and you crack jokes with your colleagues all week, Monday through Friday. And although you have a good time in cracking jokes at lunchtime with your colleagues, perhaps you would not invite that same colleague, an acquaintance, round to your house for a nice roast dinner on a Sunday afternoon. You may see someone out in the high street, church, and when you see them, you may smile when you say, "Hello, nice to see you today." But if the truth be told, you really don't have a close bond with that person. They are just an acquaintance, someone you may know of, but you really don't know intimately. So the human soul is like a house, and based on the individual, based on who it is, we make decisions and we determine who gets access to the various rooms of our hearts. And some people in our lives, we have given them access to access maybe just the front porch area of our soul. We say, "Hello, how are you doing? Nice to see you." But that's it. We don't want to go any further. We draw the line at the porch. But others, we may allow, yes, to come on the porch, but we will allow to come a step further into the house, maybe into the reception area. They're welcome in the reception area. They may even be welcome in the living room, but it stops there. We wouldn't let them go wandering upstairs. And others, we may allow even to wander into the kitchen. And if we have somewhat of a close relationship and connection, we may even say those sacred words that I used to hear my mum say to certain people: "Open the fridge and help yourself." How many of you, mum like me, who said those words to certain people? And then others we may say, "Well, you're welcome everywhere. My level of trust for you is so profound that you can come to the front porch, you can come to the reception, you can come into the kitchen, you can help yourself to something in the fridge. In fact, even if I'm not home, you can come and wander freely in my house. Such is the level of trust that I have for you." And it may take a long while, if we're honest, to develop that trust before we allow someone full access into the house of our soul. But for Jonathan and David, it's interesting that right here in 1 Samuel chapter 18, the Bible lets us know that after just one conversation, after one encounter, one interaction, after David had slayed this Philistine giant, and King Saul, Jonathan's father, had requested that David did not return home to his father, but would stay with him in the royal courts. And Jonathan, after meeting him for the first time, it's interesting that the Bible says that Jonathan became one in spirit with David. And it goes on to say, he loved him as he loved himself. That is deep. That there was a special bond and a unique covenant between Jonathan and David. They were known, if you will, as the besties of besties. They were the Ant and Dec of Israel. They were the Bert and Ernie of Judah. They were one in spirit. Just like SpongeBob and Patrick. Any SpongeBob lovers in the house? They had a connection like no other. And Jonathan, the king's son, made a covenant with David to love his buddy as he loved himself. So this morning, can we get some help from Jonathan and David? We need some help with our own friendships in the 21st century. We need some advice, David and Jonathan, of how we can be good friends to our friends. How we can build trustworthy friendships of love and mutual devotion. How can we maintain fruitful and God-inspired relationships? And the first point that I want to leave with you this morning, by way of what I observe from the friendship connection of David and Jonathan, is number one, they teach us, you have to know the difference between a true friend and a leech. Say that with me. You have to know the difference between a true friend and a leech. There is a difference between a friend and a leech. You see, Jonathan loved David as he loved himself, but Saul, Jonathan's father, it's interesting, the king, according to chapter 16, when you read chapter 16, Saul also is described that he loved David also. So when you read chapter 16, it says the king Saul loved David. Chapter 18, it says Jonathan, the son, loved David. But although King Saul loves David in chapter 16, and Jonathan loved David in chapter 18, you could not compare the levels of love between King Saul and the son Jonathan. Because Saul only loved and admired David because David was gifted. As long as Saul could use David, use him to play the harp when an evil spirit came over him, use him to go out and fight on his behalf and on behalf of the children of Israel to go against Goliath when King Saul should have gone. As long as Saul could use David, he loved him. But as soon as the tables had turned, and one day the king Saul went out and heard some women singing in the streets, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. And when Saul heard the women singing that in the streets about this young man David, a spirit of envy and jealousy came over him. and rage. And now, the one that he loved in chapter 16, now he wants to eliminate in chapter 18. How many people do we know, if we're honest, they only want to have a friendship based upon what they can get from you? It's not reciprocal. What can I take? What can I get? What have you done for me lately? What can you give to me? But when you need support, when you need a favor, when you need some assistance, there seemingly is a disconnect. There was a big difference in the love that Saul displayed for David versus the love that Jonathan displayed for David. And the love that Saul had for David, it turned into hate. It turned from admiration to envy. And the Bible lets us know that he wanted to kill him. And maybe there's someone here this morning, you thought you had a friend at one time in your life. You thought you had a close bond and a connection, but you later came to discover that you were connected not to a friend, but to a leech. And let me say this morning with sincerity and with love. Although God has called us as Christians to be people of love and to love all people, we're called to do that. We're called to demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ in all of our encounters and relationships. But there is a difference between showing love and becoming a Christian doormat. I don't believe it's the will of God for us to become Christian doormats, where people just walk all over us and take advantage of our love. Saul only used David for his own personal gratification and benefit. And as soon as David began to receive some recognition and adulation, Saul wanted to kill him. But a true friend will not be intimidated if the other friend is being elevated in life. You ever had a friend once, and when you were on the same level, you perhaps were making the same amount of money, and you were single, and before you met your spouse, and you were all friends and you were close. But as soon as life began to change, now that same friend who you would go out on a regular basis with for coffee and lunch and you would call without any reservation, now seemingly they're looking at you with a side eye. Who do you think you are? Who does she think she is? Who does he think he is? He thinks he's all that and a bag of crisps. A true friend will not just want to take from us, but a true friend will also want to give. And a true friend like Jonathan won't be intimidated if the other person is being elevated in life. A true friend will celebrate the growth and say, yes, well done, we're with you. You graduate from university, praise the Lord, we're with you. You get a raise or a promotion on your job, and I haven't got one yet, that's okay, thank God for you, I celebrate you. You get married before me, hallelujah, praise God, I'll wait my turn. That's a true friend, not someone who's going to become envious. Recently I realized that my phone battery, it was draining a lot quicker than I expected, relatively being a newer phone. And I was wondering, why is my phone battery draining so quickly? So I took it into the Apple store and I said, what's going on here? It seemed like the battery, as you state, that it should last a lot longer. So they took my phone in blue water and they said, listen, let me see something here. And they went into my tabs. And they noticed that I had so many tabs open. Tabs from a long, long time ago. And they said to me, the reason why your battery is draining quicker than expected is because you have too many tabs open that is draining the life of the battery. They said, you got to close some tabs. I'm here to encourage us, some of us here today. We need to analyze our friendship circles. Could it be that we have some people in our lives that are just leeches, draining all of the life, draining the battery reservoir? And whether it's our bank accounts or human relationships, if we're only giving out and making withdrawals without any deposits going in, or reciprocity, ultimately it will lead to deficiency. And deficiency will lead to loss. So you have to know the difference between a friend and a leech. But finally on this point, I saw this week as well. Could it be that if we're not careful, church, we may even treat our relationship with God through the lens of a leech? Could it be that when we come to God and we only talk to him when there's a problem? Could it be that we only come to God and approach him when we are in trouble? Could it be that we only come to God when there is a crisis? We come to God when we need a miracle. But if Jesus is truly our friend, then we would have a connection with him, not just when there's a disaster in our lives, but even when things are good and rosy, we would still want to have a close bond and connection with him. Why? Because we love him. And I pray that we would all get to a state in our spiritual maturity where worship is not based upon what we can get from him, but simply worshiping him for who he is. How many of you have got to that point where you can come into his presence and you can worship him not because you want anything, but simply you want to worship him for who he is? Because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because he's a great God and he's worthy to be praised. Amen. I worship him not because, yes, he can bless me, but I worship him not because of blessings. I worship him because of who he is. Hallelujah. I love the words of the great old hymn. Where's David Cass? I think he might know this one. David's over there. He might know this one. It says, a friend when other friendships cease, a friend when others fail, a friend who gives me joy and peace, a friend when foes assail. And then the chorus says, friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine, oh what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. How many of you know Jesus to be your friend? He's a friend of mine. Hallelujah. So the contrast was stark between Jonathan and Saul. Saul only loved David based upon what David could do for him. But Jonathan loved him as he loved himself. And I want to leave with you the final point, that here's the solution and the celebration. Not only do we see that there's a difference between a friend and a leech, and we've got to be careful of leeches that just take, and we've got to be careful not to become a leech ourselves, but the solution here, I want to leave some practical advice. The heart of a true friend. If we're not to be a leech, what is the heart of a true friend? There is a saying that blood is thicker than water. But what I love about Jonathan, despite being the son of the king, despite being the prince of Israel, and naturally, he should have been the heir to the throne of his dad. But despite all of that, Jonathan loved his mate so much that he would even go against his dad, because loving his friend was the right thing to do. That is deep. Because today, many of us in the world, people say, well, the buck stops when it comes to family. Yeah, friends are great and all that, but blood. No. Blood. When it comes to blood, I'm sorry, we're riding for the blood. We're going to make a choice, family over friends. But what I love about Jonathan, he recognized that, yes, that's my dad. Yes, he's the king. Yes, I'm supposed to be the heir to the throne. But I love David so much, and I love God so much, that even if it means going against my dad, I'm going to choose to do what is right. Because even if my family is telling me to do the wrong thing, because of my love and devotion to my friend, I am going to choose to do what is right, rather than just appease the will of my father. And here's just in closing some practical points that I want to leave with you about this. And in your sermon notes, if you've got a pen, you can fill in the blanks here. The heart of a good friend. This is displayed from the character of Jonathan and David. Here's the first one. Trustworthiness and loyalty. Trustworthiness and loyalty. If any relationship lacks trust and loyalty, it's doomed to fail. Any relationship that's going to be successful and fruitful, it must have trust and loyalty. Here's another one. Honesty. Honesty. A true friend doesn't just tell you what you want to hear, but they will tell you the naked truth. Someone once told me a story in my old church of when they had a good friend, and that they noticed that the friend, he had a little bit of a hygiene problem. And he was struggling, and he felt that, you know, as a friend, he should speak to him. So he took him aside privately and said, look, you know, remember the use, you know, go Sainsbury's and get yourself, you know, don't forget, you know. And he was so offended. And unfortunately, that friendship, it ceased. But when you think about that, yes, it's very uncomfortable for someone to come up to you and say you stink. Very, very. No one wants to hear that. But here's the other side of it. Would a true friend, just because they don't want to hurt your feelings, just go along allowing you to stink, rather than tell you the truth and say, look, we love you, but this is for your good? That's harsh, isn't it? I know it's uncomfortable. But true friendship, it's not just about filling our ears with what we want to hear and floundery. That's one part of the problem. I don't want to get political here, but that's one of the things about President Trump. You notice his circle just full of people just telling him how great he is, and how you can't just have circles like that. You've got to have people in your circles that will call you out and say, hold on a minute, you're wrong. You need people like that. How many of you thankful for an honest spouse? I thank God for my wife, Anna. She'll tell me. So honesty is very important. And yes, it hurts sometimes, but it's an important aspect of any relationship. Let me finish on. Time is going. Empathy and support. A good friendship needs empathy and support. If you can't call a friend and share your struggles with and difficult times, that's not truly a friend. But a true friendship, a friend will have empathy and support. And that's what Jonathan displayed for David. When his dad was trying to kill him, he empathized with him and he supported him and he defended him. Amen? Here's another one. consistency and effort. Ah, consistency and effort. This is one of the things I've been convicted of recently, consistency and effort with friendships. Because sometimes what I've discovered, and this is something I struggled with as well personally, is sometimes, especially with some of my friends and connections I have in London, sometimes I use busyness as an excuse for a lack of consistency. When's the last time you've checked in with so-and-so? Just so busy. And yes, we all have busy lives, but that's not a good excuse. We have so much technology now that it's not so hard to take a few minutes out of the day and check in on your friend. We should never be too busy that you can't jump in a car and drive to London. London's not that far away that you can't go see about your friend. And that's something that we all should also take on board, consistency. I think especially post-COVID, we're becoming a little bit distant. When I was growing up in church, we would regularly go around each other's houses for meals. Nowadays, I know time's a little bit different, but we've got to always remember who we are as a church. We're to have that spirit of hospitality, consistency, time, and effort. Amen? And here's the final one. Respectful boundaries. Respectful boundaries. There needs to be some boundary lines. And especially for those of us who have some non-Christian friends, maybe you were really close before you came to Christ, and now you've come to Christ, that person is still not a Christian yet. They need to respect the boundaries. This is not how it used to be. Now that I've come to Christ, you need to respect the boundaries. Yes, we can still have a friendship, but you're not going to see me out there 3 o'clock in the morning coming out the pubs half drunk. A good friend will respect those boundaries and not blur the lines. I remember my mum, I say this in closing, this is my final close. I'm sorry. When I was getting married, and my brother was planning the stag, and my mum called and said, listen here. She said, now listen here, Craig. She said, now you're still figuring out your faith journey, but you see Nathan, he's a minister. So whatever you've planned, whatever you have in store for this stag, what she was saying is the line of boundaries. Thankfully, it was a safe stag. So, what kind of friend are you? Are you a Saul, where it's all about what can you do for me? Or are you a Jonathan? Sacrificial, servanthood, mutual, consistent, patient, kind, honest. That is the friendship that God wants us to display. Let's be a Jonathan and let's not be a Saul. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. And Lord, we pray that all of us would learn from Jonathan and that we would first be a good friend. Because if we want to have good friends, we first need to be a good friend. Thank you that David and Jonathan, they had that deep covenant of mutual love and a covenant of friendship. We pray too for our friendships and our connections that they would be fruitful, that we would not become like Saul and become envious, become proud, become arrogant, but that we would be like Jonathan and that we would look out for one another because that's what you've called us to do. Lord, I pray finally if there's anyone who has been hurt by a previous connection, who's even going through something right now, maybe there's a disconnect in a friendship. I pray, God, that if it's possible that there can be reconciliation, that there can be peace. that there can be restoration. You are the God who's able to bring people back together again. And Lord, I just pray that if anyone's going through that now, that if it be your will, that you would draw people back together again. But I pray too that we would also, yes, be loving, but we would not become doormats. We would know those boundary lines, and that we would respect them and also allow people to respect our boundaries. So Lord, we pray that we would be a Jonathan, and that we would not be a Saul, so that we can glorify you and be a good friend. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The worship team are coming back to close us out with our final song.
As we close, let's join together in the song, Build Your Kingdom Here, and let's leave with a prayer that the Lord will fill us with the strength and love of Christ for the week ahead. In our exchanges, in our relationships, come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Let's stand. We're going to sing, Build Your Kingdom Here.
Amen. Certainly thank each and every one of you for joining us for our service today. And especially if this is your first time, here, we especially want to welcome you. Thank you so much for joining us for our morning service today. And you are all welcome to join us for tea and coffee or a colder drink if you would prefer in the church lounge after the service. We would love to connect with you. We're a friendly church, aren't we? Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this service today. And Lord, we pray that we would learn from the example of Jonathan, that we would be honest, that we would be full of integrity, we would be full of compassion and that deep devotion of love. Oh Lord, we pray for all of our friendships and connections. And we pray also for future connections to come. Lord, would you connect us with like-minded people who, Father, you will allow to have that great bond of friendship and mutual love, just like Jonathan and David. And most of all, we thank you for our ultimate friend, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us on the cross, who was buried in a tomb, and on the third day he rose with all power in his hands. And oh, now we can say what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we can be called the sons and the daughters of God. Now dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. And until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great week. God bless you all.